Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and full year FY 2022 earnings conference call of Vedanta Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Vedanta Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Stanford, and hello, everyone. I am Sandeep Agarwal. On behalf of Vedanta, I am delighted to welcome you to our fourth quarter and full year FY 2022 earnings call. We have with us today our Group CEO, Mr. Sunil Dugal, our Group Acting CFO, Mr. Ajay Goel. We are also joined by Deputy CEO, Aluminum, Mr. Rahul Sharma, Deputy CEO, Oil and Gas, Mr. Prachur Shah, CEO, Iron and Steel, Mr. Souvik Majumdar. We will start with update on key highlights of our performance and then answer the questions which you may have. Please note, today's entire discussion will be covered by safe harbor clause mentioned on page two of the presentation. Now, without further ado, I would like to hand over to Mr. Dugal to take us through the presentation. Over to you, Mr. Dugal.
Thank you, Sandeep. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vedanta Limited fourth quarter and full financial year 2022 earnings conference call. The commodity market had a remarkable spell in the financial year 2022. Initially driven by energy crisis in China, natural gas shortage in Europe, coal supply shortage due to Australian-Indonesian coal supply curtailment, and then due to Russia-Ukraine conflict. Metal supply chain is seeing disruptions with increased energy cost, financing issues due to sanctions on Russia, and logistic issues due to trouble in ports access from Russia and Ukraine. Production cuts by various European manufacturers, particularly for aluminum and zinc, coupled with abysmally low inventories, have led to all-time high metal prices. Oil and gas prices have also jumped amidst increased demand and Europe's high dependence on Russia's oil and gas. It appears that strong supply-side disruptions continue to outweigh potential of economic risk from high inflation and rising COVID cases in China. Metal prices can remain elevated for longer, especially in short to medium term. Indian economy remained resilient on the back of record exports, improving manufacturing and services, government-led infra spending, buoyant GST and other tax collections, rising new investment proposals indicate investment cycle revival. The core sector output growth was also at a four-month high of 5.8% YoY in February, signaling a rebound in industrial activities. Vedanta continues to deliver strong performance underpinned by asset quality and business model strength. We have delivered best ever annual financial performance with an EBITDA of rupees 45,319 crores and strong free cash flows driven by record volume growth across our key businesses. EBITDA margins remained strong despite inflationary pressure on cost of production. In line with our earning distribution track record, we had record rupees 45 per share dividend payout in FY 2022. As per our redefined ESG strategy, our overall purpose is supported by three pillars. Under the first pillars of transforming the community, we have worked to uplift the quality of communities through various initiatives, including drinking water, sanitation, healthcare, community infrastructure, children well-being, et cetera. 4.36 million lives benefited across 1 to 6, 8 villages. We are proud to announce that we established more than 3,200 nangars, benefiting 2,40,000 children and women. Under the second pillars of transforming the planet, we took a very significant action by signing 580 megawatt of renewable power delivery agreement. We launched Restora and Restora Ultra brand of green aluminium to usher in new era of green metals. In line with our aim to move to a greener business model, Jharsuguda dispatched first fly ash rake to cement plant. We are saddened by loss of 3 lives in the fourth quarter. Our senior leadership team has completed incident investigation. The outcomes have been shared immediately with all our sites to deploy the learnings. Safety stand downs have been conducted across the sites to communicate learning to all employees and business partners. We are making steady progress towards aim to ensure gender parity, diversity and inclusivity across the organization from the senior leadership and decision-making bodies to our SBU and enabling functions. Our aim is to strengthen our position as an equal opportunity employer. We have launched group-wide program Green Spark to scale up partnership with innovative startups to leverage their technological capability and execution speed, aim towards achieving strategic goals in operational excellence, new product development, and 360-degree sustainability. For the Atmanirbhar Bharat, India needs to reduce electronics imports. Semiconductor, which is a critical raw material for electronics manufacturing, has significant demand supply gap. We are partnering with the largest global player, Foxconn, to start semiconductor production in 2 years' time. This has a very large potential for shareholder value creation. Now, I will turn to business verticals. Our aluminium business recorded highest ever annual aluminium and alumina production of 2.3 million tons and 2.0 million tons respectively, driven by strong focus on operational excellence and asset optimization. Fourth quarter was also exceptional with 8% YOY metal production growth. Quarterly aluminium COP was $2,182 per ton, impacted by input commodity headwinds, particularly power costs. With our continued focus on growth and integrated operation, aluminium business has now become second largest contributor in group's profitability. It is poised to be third largest global player, ex-China, with $1.4 billion capex program over the next 2 years for growth and vertical integration to create sustainable value and reduce market volatility impact. Zinc India achieved historic high mine metal production crossing 1 million ton mark. Quarterly mine metal production was 295 kt, was also best ever since underground transition. The cost of production was down by 1% to $1,136 per ton on QOQ basis, and input commodity inflation impact was more than offset by higher volumes, operational efficiency, including improved recoveries and favorable LME. Zinc International Hemsworth is now well poised to deliver significant value. Hemsburg achieved 220 kt annualized run rate of MIC production in the month of March. The COP increased mainly due to spend on South Pit recovery projects and exchange rate appreciation. We successfully finished the commissioning of the zinc rougher cell, which resulted in 3 to 5% recovery improvement. We are spending $466 billion to increase Hemsburg MIC capacity to 450 KTPA. Hemsburg has potential to become South Africa's largest zinc producer and one of the biggest zinc smelting complex in the world. Oil and gas business operations remain stable. The natural field decline was largely offset by volume addition with infill wells, polymer injection and RDG field gas ramp-ups. OPEX increased to $12.4 per barrel in the fourth quarter, primarily on increased polymer prices in line with higher oil prices and polymer consumption to arrest decline. we notified two OLAP hydrocarbon discoveries, Durga 1 in Rajasthan and Jaya 1 in Cambay, adding 40 million barrels to resources to augment our reserve and resources and mitigate natural decline. We'll spend $687 million on exploration work in OLAP and PSC block, infill well programs and shell exploration. In iron ore, we achieved highest ever annual production with 30% YOY growth. Quarterly sales grew 17% YOY with support from all key operational projects. VAP achieved record annual production of 790 KT. VAP recorded highest ever annual margin of $111 per ton. Quarterly margins were down due to higher coking coal prices after a partial offset from higher steel prices. Steel delivered record annual hot metal production of 1.36 million ton through enhanced furnace operations. Quarterly hot metal production grew 3% YOY. The margin was higher by 10% QOQ, mainly on improved market despite input commodity headwinds. We commenced commercial production from recently acquired two iron ore mines in Odisha. This will enable ESL to have 100% iron ore security. FACR continues to its turnaround journey. It achieved historic annual ferrochrome production with 10% YOY growth. Our annual EBITDA margin was up by 3x YOY to $534 per ton. Quarterly ferrochrome production was 18 KT, lower due to maintenance shutdown. Overall, if you see, we have made significant progress across our strategic priorities, creating value for all stakeholders. Our world-class assets have delivered outstanding financial results, driven by operational performance and supportive commodity prices. Our underlying businesses remain strong, and we are committed to make it stronger through growth. Vertical integration, operational efficiencies, unlocking through technology and digitization, and targeted acquisitions. With this now, I would like to hand over to my friend, Mr. Ajay Goyal, CFO, for the financial performance.
Thank you, Sunil, and good evening, everyone. We achieved our best ever financial performance, not only for the quarter, but also the full year was a record year in terms of various financial metrics by a significant margin. This quarter witnessed our highest ever revenue and EBITDA performance, and the leverage ratio, which is net debt to EBITDA, was the lowest in last 5 years. The quarter was benefited by positive operational performance across our key businesses and favorable sales realization following strong demand and elevated commodity prices for all our major commodities, namely zinc, aluminium or Brent. The record earnings and resultant cash flows supported the full year dividend of rupees 45 per share, with total quantum of dividend payout at rupees 16,728 crores. I'd like to highlight a few of the vital few numbers for the fourth quarter, the quarter just bygone. Highest ever quarterly EBITDA of rupees 13,768 crores, up 51% YOY and up 26%, with an underlying margin of 39%. We maintain the leadership position across the industry on margins. PAT before exceptionals and any one-time gains stands at rupees 7,570 crores, up 48% YOY and 40% quarter-on-quarter. We continue to maintain our strong liquidity position with cash and cash equivalents at rupees 32,130 crores. With that, the net debt stands at about 21,000 crores, which is down 24% quarter-on-quarter. Let me add, this is the quarter where we also paid dividend. So net debt is down 24% quarter-on-quarter with net debt to EBITDA ratio of 0.5, which again, as I mentioned, is the lowest in last 5 years and is the best amongst Indian peers. I also want to call out a couple of key numbers for the full fiscal FY22. All-time high EBITDA of 45,319 crores, up 66% from the previous year, with an underlying margin of 39%. PAT before exceptionals and any one-time gains stands at rupees 24,299 crores. It is up by 95% from the previous year. The ROCE, return on capital employed, was 30%, which is 1.6 times higher versus last year's number of 19%. So our profitability is racing ahead of need for the capital. We have a detailed income statement in the appendix, and I want to just update you on couple of items in that income statement. It's in the page number 31 in the IR presentation. Depreciation charge for the fourth quarter was 2,379 crores. It is 60% higher YOY due to higher overall depletion charge for RJ at oil and gas and higher ore volumes and capitalization at zinc. The depreciation quarter on quarter increased by 5%, which is in line with the business magnitude for the current quarter. The finance cost for Q4 was 1,333 crores, up 1% YOY, primarily on account of one-time prepayment charge on loan refinancing. It is partly offset by lower average borrowings and lower interest rate. Income from investment for the fourth quarter was 520 crores, down 40% YOY, and up 1% quarter on quarter due to NTM accounting, mark-to-market movement, and change in the mix of the investment. The normalized ETR for the full fiscal stands at about 28%, which is in line with the guidance provided. As we know, the normalized ETR excludes any tax on exceptional items or any deferred tax asset reversals on the losses. Now I move to EBITDA bridge. So where the EBITDA is up 51% YOY and 26% up quarter on quarter. As you may have seen from the bridge, the strong demand for all our commodities and higher pricing have positively impacted our EBITDA along with higher volumes across all our key businesses. This has been partly offset by input inflation across various commodities, specifically in the aluminum business. Moving on to the net debt bridge, net debt as on the year end, March 31, stands at about 20,979 crores, reduced by 6,590 crores from the previous quarter. This is supported by strong cash flows from operations and partly offset a payment of dividend in the fourth quarter and capex spendings. From balance sheet viewpoint, long-term strategic balance sheet management is a key enterprise-wide priority for us. The average maturity for long-term debt is about 3.5 years, with an average cost of borrowings at 7.9%. The 7.99 has come down to 7.7% as at March end. I'm very happy to report to you that our rating has been augmented to AA with a stable outlook in the fourth quarter, both by India Rating and CRISIL, and that demonstrate our strong financial performance and the free cash flows. As you are aware, we announced our allocation of capital policy in the fourth quarter, sometimes in February. This policy establishes various guardrails on allocation of funds. The policy focuses on rapid and responsible growth with the key objectives of deleveraging across the group and at the same time maximizing shareholders' value. Our CAPEX programs is progressing quite well, and it is in line with overall policy on allocation of capital, which intends to invest in next phase of growth projects. You may have seen on the guidance provided for the current fiscal, as in F23, we have planned for 2 billion of growth CAPEX in the current year, wherein we are investing in aluminium business towards vertical integration. We are also investing in oil and gas to augment R&R and mitigate any natural decline in the oil fields. We are also looking to double the capacity at Zinc International and ESL. In FY22, we achieved highest ever cash flows before capex of about 3.6 billion, which shows the strength of our operations. Our CapEx programs over the various previous years has been largely self-funded, and we will continue doing so in near future as well. Overall, in summary, with an excellent yearly performance, we delivered record profitability. We are progressing well on the path of deleveraging and rewarding shareholders through consistent dividend. I also want to mention that we ensured highest level of corporate governance and transparency with clean statutory audit report across the group as at year end. With this, we are confident that we will continue to sustain our strong performance in the current fiscal as well and create further value for the shareholders. Thank you all, and I go back to operator for any Q&As.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Participants are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from Amit Dixit from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have two questions. The first one is essentially on the green aluminium products, Restura and Restura Ultra. If you can throw some timeline, some light on the timeline, the volume and the premium that these products will command over your regular aluminium products. That is the first question.
May I go ahead with the first question? Or you want to go ahead with... I'll answer this. So these are two products. One is Restura and Restura Ultra. Restura Ultra is made with the green power, so renewable power. It was made. So it is with the intensity of say 3.2 ton of CO2 per ton of metal, compared to a traditional 17 to 18 ton of CO2 per ton of metal. So this is Restura, and the other is Restura Ultra. Restura Ultra is made from the aluminium dross. So the aluminium dross is normally dumped in the secure landfill. So our sister organization, Runaya, set up the technology to process this dross to convert it into aluminium. So with this, the overall the carbon per ton of metal is around 0.32. So point 0.37 ton per ton of metal. So this is Restura Ultra. And I may also tell you that as per the global standard, the green metals are made with a CO2 of 4 ton CO2 equivalent per ton of metal. So even our Restura metal is better than the global standard, and the Restura Ultra is also better than the global standard. So these numbers have been ratified and verified by DNV, the third party, and based on that certification, we have launched this product in the market. This is enabling us to earn good premium from the export market. But my colleague Rahul is also there. Rahul, anything you want to add on what premium we are earning from the market on this?
No, thanks, Mr. Dubel. I think the point is that why we have gone for it, it's an obvious reason, you know, when we want to be see that from the metal side and more from the ESG side. That's a part of our journey to make, you know, 25% GHG reduction by 2030. And that was the first product which has been launched last year. It's been registered and launched as a Restora brand. As Mr. Duggal said, that this product has better than the global average, which is less than 4 ton CO2 emission of per ton of aluminium. And the last year, if we say that we have already, you know, produced 130 KT, and this year also we have already a customer with us, and we'll be continue to ramp up the volume. But that's a volume which we did last year. And more than a premium, I think, is a more of a segment which is more, you know, friendly or more conscious about the environment. They are demanding, and we are contributing towards our ESG goal and the demand.
Okay. Thanks for the comprehensive answer. The second question is essentially on the balance sheet and cash flow. So if I look at the working capital buildup, that is almost 12,000 odd crores. 8,100 crores is in receivable. But if I look at the balance sheet, then the trade receivable, you know, they have gone up, but not to the extent of 8,100 crores. So just wanted to understand where the remaining receivables have gone up.
Yeah, sure, Amit. So if you also look at the overall, the bridge in terms of free cash flow for the full fiscal, and you're right, the working capital is an investment for the full fiscal. But we should not look at just the absolute value. As you may have seen, our revenue has grown from about 87,000 crore last year to about 1.3 lakh crore. It is 1.5 times. So the investment in the working capital, be it inventory or in terms of debtors, is all led by the pricing, the higher volume in the current fiscal. If you look at the number of days outstanding, our working capital, in fact, is lower than the last year.
No, so that's fine. My question was more on receivables. So if I look at cash flow, the receivables have gone up by 8,100 crores, but in balance sheet, trade receivables are up like 1,500 odd crores in current asset, and in non-current asset, they are up like by hardly up. So, I mean, I can't reconcile this difference in receivables. 8,100 crores has gone up, but trade receivables have gone up by only 1,500 crores. Just wanted to understand that what is the other component of this receivable?
It is multiple components, Amit. It is the normal trade debtors, and including the power debtors. What we can do, we can send you a breakup over the email.
Great, sir. So I have a few questions, but I'll come back in the queue. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from Pinakin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Sir, I have two questions. My first question relates to the aluminum segment. Now, the company has laid out the three coal mines, Jamkhani and other two, and the expectations of the mining commissioning. So my first question relates to coal is that can you give us a sense of what is the expected volumes from each of the mines and what would be the total all-in cost at these mines versus your current procurement of coal cost adjusted for calorific values? I'm trying to understand what could be the potential savings from this captive coal mine.
So I'll go about it. So we have three mines we have won through auction. One is Jamkhani, another is Radhikapur, and third is Kurloi. So these mines are located within the stone's throw from our Jharsuguda operation. So Jamkhani coal block, we are planning to make it operational next month. This mine has a license capacity of 2.6 million ton per annum, but the potential is much larger. So once we start operation and we would like to, you know, have a mine plan for much larger value, much larger capacity. And my own sense is that this can go to 6 to 8 million tons per annum. The current estimated cost from this mine is around 80 paisa per GCV. So irrespective of GCV value, we convert it into the figure of paisa per GCV. So this is 80 paisa per GCV. The current cost has been varying over the quarters. The current cost is say 1 rupee 15 paisa or so, which was the average for the last quarter. So I'm just mentioning this figure just for the comparison, and you can work out your numbers. But the Radhikapur West, this mine has a capacity of 6 million ton per annum. So this mine, we want to make it operational in the second half of the year. The potential cost per GCV could be, as per our internal calculation, is 53 paisa per GCV. And the third mine is Kurloi North, which has a licensed capacity of 8 million tons. And this also has a potential of around 8 million tons. So this will become operational by first half of FY24. So in the next 12 to 15 months time, our belief is that all these three mines should become operational. With the current license capacity, it should produce around 17 million tons. With a full potential, it can produce 25 to 26 million tons. And the overall cost of all these three, the average cost of all these three could be 57 paisa to 60 paisa against the last quarter cost, which I mentioned, was around 1 rupee 15 paisa.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Sir, my second question relates to slide number 48. Now, Vedanta Resources standalone net debt stands as of March 31st at $8.9 billion. Now, given the dividend that the company has paid out and the cash flows that Vedanta Limited will generate, can we get a sense of how much the net debt at the parent unlisted entity is expected to reduce in the next financial year? The chairman had talked about a number of $5 billion over 4 years, but can we break this down into the expected debt reduction over the next 12 months at the unlisted parent?
Yeah, sure, Pinakinder. You may have seen, you write page 48. It shows Vedanta Resources debt at Stellundum is about $8.9 billion. And today also the board announced it's the first interim dividend of almost $1.6 billion. And in that case, almost $1 billion becomes a receipt at VRS hand. This proceeds will be mostly used for part tender of $1 billion bonds, which are due in July. Overall, what we committed a couple of months ago in our Mumbai event is deleveraging Vedanta Resources of $4 billion over 3 years. And we don't have breakup by year, but one thing I can commit to you that the whole $4 billion over 3 years will not be back-ended, will front-end this. So at least $1 billion deleveraging in the current fiscal is our target.
I will add on a couple of sentences here. You see, we have made a bit of $6.3 billion last year. So with a run rate of, say, $1.92 billion in quarter four. So if you do your maths and the commodity prices and the performance stays here, it has a potential of $8 billion. With the efforts and the projects in the pipeline, which will integrate the operation, and you just heard about operationalization of the coal mines. And you also know that we are raising the capacity of our Lanjigarh operation from 2 million ton to 5 million ton. Here, even with the imported bauxite, it has a differential contribution of $150 per ton. But with the local bauxite, it has a potential of another $150 per ton. With the power cost potential of, say, $350 per ton and this potential of $300 per ton, the cost reduction, the integration of the operation, adding the value added product capacity, increasing it from 44% to 90%, and the ESL capacity going up. So we have the projects all over. I also talked about Zinc International, the potential the Zinc International has, and I'm also very happy to report you that the SRK has just certified the report that we have added another $100 million tons of R&R in our Zinc International operation. So we have a huge potential. The looking at all the potential at, if we capture the full potential, I think the our revenues could be, you know, $30 billion, $30 to $35 billion in the next 2 years. and EBITDA could be $12 to $13 billion. With that EBITDA, and if you can look our CapEx and the other line items, it could deliver us a cash flow of $7 to $8 billion, and with a debt of $9 billion and the cash flow of this, you can do your own math that where we can land.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Chandak from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So my first question was with regards to the OP cost at Vedanta and if you BALCO, and if you could highlight what is the breakup of your imported coal, e-auction coal and linkage coal?
So I gave you the overall cost of 1 rupee 15 paisa, and the power cost in quarter four was $826 per ton. But if you want the overall breakup, I have my colleague Rahul. Rahul, in brief, if you can tell the breakup of the various sources of the coal procurement which you have and the overall breakup of the power cost.
Thanks, Mr. Dugal. Now, ideally, if you see that the last year, the total requirement was 22 million, and the percentage per se, linkage was 31% and the e-auction was 63%, and that's 5 to 6% more of an aggregator. And total cost per GCV was 1 rupees, and we know that always linkage cost is, you know, close to the 70 paisa or 72 paisa. And that's all you can find out from, you know, the calculation what I said. You can calculate, and the Q4 per se was 1.15, which Mr. Dugal also said that. So that's a percentage breakup, what I have said for the, you know, last year for 22 million, which we have consumed as a coal.
Sir, if you could just highlight on the Q4, because I believe Q4 was significantly different because the coal and the e-auction volumes were low and the premiums were significantly higher. And how would you look through it for the next two quarters in terms of, now, coal and not being able to allocate coal for the e-auctions, and FSA is just not coming up to most of the aluminum guys.
Basically, you know, if you see that from a coal point of view, I think you must understand one, as I said, that I have 100%, you know, coal security. And what movement has happened from Q3 to Q4 is that my trench 5, which is my major quantity of 63%, that is, you know, around that is 72 paisa, right? And the balance is comes as a rupees of, you know, e-auction was 1.19, and then if you average out, it comes to entire is the 1.18. And I understand that today the challenge is not the coal availability. Today is the challenge of metallization, and that's how the we are also faced some challenges, maybe, you know, and which we are overcoming in by now to convert from rail to RCR mode, rail to road. And that's how we are managing, and that's how we are, you know, looking our coal metallization. Because security per se, we have 100% security, rather better security movement from the Q3 to Q4, because Q3 was 30% on linkage, which have moved to just double from the Q3 to Q4. Hope I have answered your question.
Yeah, so basically you've just said that if I understand this correctly, sir, you've mentioned that from Q3 to Q4 your FSA procurement has doubled from 31% to 63%, and e-auction is actually halved from 63% to 27%, and your cost of production on an equivalent basis for 4Q was 1.18 paise per GCV.
Yeah, and if you see our power cost for Q3 to Q4 was remained flat.
Flattish.
Yeah.
Okay. So second question was with regard.
I will add on. You see, I mean, you can see that the overall power cost has remained stable over quarter three and quarter four. And as Rahul said, that the materialization is a key factor. And as he said that, you know, we are taking the option of road, and we believe that the option of road will be able to materialize it better because the distances are not very large from our operations. But apart from that, as I told you, that the operationalization of the coal mines. So Jamkhani coal block getting operationalized just at the beginning of the next month itself. So along with that, the bend, if the pending rake, you know, the linkage rake materialization comes up, so I think it will help us to conserve and bring down our cost in the coming quarters. So there, all efforts are in that direction, and the cost, power cost has peaked up in the last quarter. So anything and everything which will happen, it will only reduce the cost from now on.
Yeah, so that is actually very great to hear about the how you have managed your power cost, and that was a big surprise as well. So my second question was with regards to the repayment schedule at the parent. You mentioned $1 billion is coming up for July, which has now already been arranged, and that's what we also anticipated. Now, if you could just highlight what are the other, what's the schedule of repayment at the promoter entities for the next 2 years?
Yeah, sure. So if I give you a breakup of the current year, and in the current fiscal, in the first half, almost $2 billion worth of loans or term loans are falling due for repayment. Same way, the second half is almost 0.7. So in the FY23, the value is about 2.7 billion. And in F24, it's about 3 billion. So net-net, if you may have seen, as I mentioned, almost a billion, if not more, we will repay using our free cash flows. Balance will be a mix of repayment or refinancing. With our current profitability, which will lead to, again, robust free cash flows, and secondly, the current structure, which is 70% holding of Vedanta Resources into Vedanta Limited, we feel that in terms of refinancing or repayment, we are quite comfortable.
That's very useful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Sir, first on the ESG side, you have indicated in the presentation on the PDA as well as substitution on natural gas. Would it be possible for you to explain the underlying economics on how it will actually help us versus the current sourcing on energy that we have?
Yes, so we have done the PDA for 580 megawatt. Which is 200 megawatt of Balco, 200 megawatt of zinc, and 180 megawatt of Jharsuguda. So the PDAs which has been done, the today's cost at Hindustan Zinc is around 5.50 rupees or so, current cost, against which the PDAs are at a much lesser cost. Similarly, at Balco and Jharsuguda, we will get a benefit of, say, 20-25% from the current marginal cost. And this project has overall IRR of more than 25%.
Okay. So if I have to simplistically look at it from a rupees per kilowatt hour basis, what should one look at that particular number corresponding to this 580 megawatt on some total basis?
So roughly, the average for 580 megawatt is around rupees 4 per unit.
Okay, that's helpful. And the second on the gas side, wherein we have indicated partnership with GL, how should one look at the volume and the economics over here?
So this is at a feasibility stage. They have to connect the pipeline from the GAIL pipeline to our complex. That will also need a capex. So we are looking at the feasibility and the overall economics, but definitely it is going to be cheaper than what we are doing today. The similar project we did for Hindustan Zinc, for our smelting complex at Chanderia, and we also did for our Pantnagar operation, and there we got the cost benefit of say 30-40% at that time, and we believe that similar benefit should come here.
Sir, my second question is on the Hindustan Zinc call, we are indicated that we have taken hedges on zinc. Sir, what was the thought process behind that? And if you have done on zinc, why not for other commodities, which will actually give us safety on cash flows on forward basis?
No, it is a very conscious call we have taken. We wanted to secure our business plan, and when the future predictions we looked at, and our own strategy team deliberated, and a part of the production we have hedged for the next few months. So the overall, I think, anything, Ajay, you want to add on this?
Yeah, I'd like to supplement a couple of areas. You're right. Traditionally, Vedanta's philosophy has been to capture the average LME or the average Brent for the month of production. And we have not been hedging strategically. But as you would appreciate, given the current environment, which is quite volatile, very tumultuous, and even the pricing is quite lofty, we want to capture the benefit in our income statement. So using that route, we have made this time one course correction. And across three key commodities, which is zinc, aluminum, and oil and gas, oil specifically, we have hedged about 15% of the volume for the current fiscal. And that will secure our profitability for next 3-4 months.
Sir, you indicated oil we have hedged at 15% of the total volume?
Yes, across zinc, aluminum, and oil, give and take 15% on an average, the business plan volume for the current fiscal has been hedged.
Sir, can you indicate the pricing, given this is quite critical and it's a great step actually what the company has taken?
I can give you ballpark number. Zinc, for example, is more than $4,100 per ton. Aluminium is about $3,600 per ton. And oil at about $100 per Brent.
$102.
This is great, sir. Thank you so much. I have more questions. Probably I'll just join back with you. Thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, firstly, on the you gave great detail about the coal sourcing and things. So how should we read it? So in the next 2 quarters, are we going to see costs remaining where they were in the 4th quarter, or because the options, are still high? And so how should we read on the cost front?
See, the market is very volatile. You see, I mean, everything what is happening in the market. So the market is very volatile. But we are doing what we can do. So we have tranche 5, which gives us a security of 1 to 1.1 million ton of coal through the tranche 5. And this will have a cost, a landed cost of, say, 75-78 paisa per GCV, depending on the mode we transport and land at our operation. We explained earlier, we have taken a call where we have decided that we will transport the coal through road if the rake availability is becoming a constraint. And with that belief, we believe that the materialization of the tranche 5 coal could become better. With this, 60-70% of the security could be provided. And then, as I said, that we are operationalizing the Jamkhani coal block, and which also has, which will deliver coal to us at around 80-82 paisa per GCV. And with these two combination, if we are able to do, and whatever we have done in the Q3 and Q4 last year, I believe that anything which has happened in Q3, Q4 has picked up. And from now on, with these initiatives, the coal cost should become better from now on.
Right. So that was helpful. So then, sir, going forward, so if I see your CapEx plan and, the guidance on volumes that you have provided, so we haven't really done much on Zinc International where, we have such, robust plans. And so are we going to kickstart these projects? And similarly for oil also, so even for this guidance for this year seems to be quite off. So I'm just wondering, when are you going to work on these two, or we are just focused on, you know, more on cash generation rather than, you know, doing more capex?
So on Zinc International, you know that we set up this project designed volume delivery of say 200 KTPA. This was the Anglo the zinc assets from whom we acquired. They did not put up the project last many years, 50 years. But we took a call to put up this project, partnered with the global technology supplier like Wood Group and all that, and designed this project. So it had certain impurities like manganese, and mineralogy was such that it was difficult to float. But over the 3 years, we have mastered the art of floating this. We have done a lot of modification in the plant, like in the flotation circuit, putting up the rougher cleaner filters and all those things what we wanted to do. And as we said that the success now in the month of March, April, in the last quarter is such that it is crossing now the designed capacity. It has given us a full confidence. With that confidence, we have designed another circuit, which is a parallel circuit, incorporating all those learnings which we got from first phase, and even building up the capacity better than that. My sense is that the full potential from both these lines could be 600 KTPA. And if that be the case, we could be making it as a one of the biggest complex in the world. And we have also decided that with this success coming up, we may look at putting up the smelting capacity here. But now we have already ordered the second phase of the project at a capex of $450 million. A part of it will come in a cash flow. This will have a timeline of 16 to 18 months from now. The kickoff has already taken place, and the groundbreaking work is about to start.
So you're saying in 25 we will have 600 kg, is that right to look at it, Takul?
See, the second phase will get commissioned in FY24, and if we take the call to put up a smelter in the next few months, we believe that we deserve to put up the smelter there. So with 600 KT, and we also have the Black Mountain mine there, we are doing some debottlenecking, and the capacity may go up to 100 KTP with the full capacity of, you know, 600 to 700 KTPA, this complex can get fully integrated into a finished metal of 600 KTPA capacity. We are on drawing board. We will come back and report to you as we will progress, but that is our vision, and our belief is that we should be able to convert this complex to this size.
Right. And sir, about oil and gas?
Yes. So oil and gas, my colleague is there. He will tell you. But basically, apart from addressing the infill drilling, doing some target exploration, and ordering now ASP, which is an enhanced oil recovery program in our MBS sets, and doing the pilot on shale oil. These are the four major areas, but Prachur, you may give little more detail and more color on this.
Sure. Thank you, Dubaji. I think you covered most of it. I think so the growth projects in oil are broken up into two. One is the infill drilling, as Dubaji mentioned, which is primarily going to cater to manage the natural decline. So whatever natural decline is there, we manage through the infill projects. The three growth projects that is going to add the reserves and subsequent production is the enhanced recovery in our MBA fields, which is supposed to be adding about 200 million barrels overall once successful. And then we are going to do our shale pilot, probably starting in June or July. And then third will be the exploration across the different acreages we have in our existing blocks and our new blocks. And in combined, these three projects, with a gestation period of about 1.5-2 years, we should see the volumes coming through.
So is there any capex number for this year in the oil and gas business, or is still like
Yes. So the CapEx number for this year is 687 million, if I'm not wrong, out of which 50%, close to 50% is in the infill projects, management as well decline, and the remaining is on the three growth projects that I mentioned. Correct me, I think my number is right, Ajay, right? 687.
That's right, Prachur.
But cash flow could be a part of it.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the record numbers. Two questions. One and mainly on aluminium expansion to 3 million. What stage are we in terms of all the approvals on the environment side and all the other approvals? And how much is ordered?
So, on 3 million ton, you may know that we have ramped up almost all pots at Jharsuguda, and the balance pots are going to be online this quarter. Apart from that, the expansion of 0.4 million ton at our Balco complex, the proposal by EAC has been cleared. We may get EC at any point of time. In the meantime, ordering and the partnering is being finalized, and we will put the shovel on the ground soon. Rahul, you want to add?
No, just to add that, like, you know, whether we talk about our Lanjigarh and Balco, we have got all the EC in hand. All approvals are in hand. Balco also we have got recently. Environment clearance. So that's not a point issue on the table. The point coming from the expansion, as almost, you know, 75% order is already in place, and this all the project is in full swing, and we see that, you know, momentum in terms of the project progress, and we have given the timeline also when we are planning to have, you know, Balco expansion and Lanjigarh, which is already part of our presentation.
Good to hear that. And the last question, the coal thing, which you mentioned at 15.3, we are 1 in branch 5. Have you started receiving coal from the this branch 5?
Yes.
We have been receiving coal from the branch 5. Materialization was not so good, but now the materialization has improved, and now with this decision taken, I think we should be able to get almost full quantity.
This is cumulative 15.3 you get over 5 years, right?
No. Every year is 15 million against the requirement of 22 million. Every year.
It's around 1.1, 1.2 million ton per month.
Per month. So you have been getting that kind of quantity because coal, India has been reducing quantities to the non-power sector. So how much was the waste on that front? And if I believe that normally what they do is that it gets carried forward where they don't supply it. So can you update on that?
You see, the quantity has been going up. We have got around two together. The volume has not been so good, but in the month of March, we got a good quantity. Say around 0.5 million ton plus we got. So the quantity has not been so bad. Of late, it has been ramping up. So with this decision taken, I think and we believe that we should be able to get almost the full quantity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of We take the last question from the line of Abhiram Iyer from Deutsche CIB Center. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had a quick question on, on the holding company level. Sir, could you just let us know what the current cash is at the holding company level? And is this inclusive of the dividend that was paid, that was sort of announced in March? And the second question is, what do you have any update on you mentioned that you'll be doing a mix of refinancing and repayment of the loans at the holding company. Do you have any update for us on any refinancing that's occurred at the holding company? Any debts that's been pushed back or you know, refinanced to a newer maturity?
I partly answered that maybe in that call previously. And our overall intent is about deleveraging at least 1 billion every fiscal and overall 4 billion over 3 years. And that is all using our organic free cash flows. In terms of maturities, we've got a page in our deck. I just request that we'll limit this call's questions mostly on Vedanta Limited. We'll have another call for Vedanta Resources once we are done with the financials. And we can cover Vedanta Resources more in details in that call, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you, Stanford. Thank you all for taking the time to join us this evening. I hope we were able to answer most of your questions. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach either me or rest of the investor relations team. This concludes today's call. We look forward to reconnect with you for next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Vedanta Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.